Rundown, April 21st. Let's get right into it.
Did you see my shirt, Dave?
Yeah, Welker's an asshole. Oh, I didn't see the back of it.
Every day this week I've asked, and you said no. You've forgotten to record every single time this week. It's unbelievable.
Did you hit record, Dave? That's like a mantra of our life now. Did you hit record, Dave?
I thought it was
just symbolic.
I just thought it was my face. I didn't see the bottom of it. Yeah, I keep forgetting. I'm so busy. I'm a number one publishing author. I'm a number one
podcast.
Let's
talk about the book real quick.
I got so many things that this record thing slips by me. I got a cold. Can you hear me? I got a cold. Yes.
Can we talk about the book real quick?
Yep.
I laughed. It was great. So I'm going to give you a compliment there. I thought it was really, really funny, even with like you actually like screwing up words and in grammar and stuff, which is like perfect. That's how I want a Dave Portnoy book to be written. Also love the line that all snakes are poisonous, because that actually, like, more people should realize that. The cat Timph, that was a little creepy.
Cute sharks. I didn't think that was creepy at all.
It's like calling an employee cute as like a 39-year-old guy. It's a little creepy.
I didn't think it was creepy at all.
I know. I know you did.
There's a lot of things you don't think are creepy, Dave. That doesn't mean they're not creepy.
Like, it's not
calling Cat Timph a cute shark. I called you a fat shark. I called you a lazy shark.
Exactly. Those aren't
creepy
the same.
Shark. She's a cute shark. There's all sorts of sharks in the ocean.
It's making those my skin crawl just thinking about
like,
it.
I am fat. Kevin's lazy. Like, it's ball busting.
Cute?
Cat Timph is like.
It's almost worse than you said. Cute. I feel like if you said like sexy shark, but you're like, you're cute, cat.
I gotta be honest, I have a negative, like, I don't even know what we're talking about here. I'm dead serious. Not even on a 1 to 100 scale, not even a 1 did I think that was remotely creepy. Not even a 1.
I know you didn't. But it was a good book. I want to give you that compliment because I actually did enjoy it. Everyone should go read it. So there you go. Don't say that I'm out to get you. I thought it was a great book. And
thank you. And there was a big story.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to officially change my stance on sharks. I think they could get a little more help.
Okay. Thank you.
You fucking sellout, son of a bitch.
I didn't go all the way, but I softened my stance.
You know what? I hope you get eaten by a fucking shark, you loser.
Kevin, did you see the fucking stats? There's like a bazillion sharks killed an hour. I had to like triple research that.
Kevin.
That's not enough.
Kevin,
I need a bazillion killed an hour.
I was like you, Kevin. Then I read the Shark Report book, and I had no idea all the weird shit Asians do to sharks.
It's nuts.
I don't like Asians either. I don't want to take the side of Asians. If we could get rid of sharks and Asians, I would do that.
By the way, that was sneaky the funniest thing when you watch back the video that you just – it's whenever animals weird like – shit's happening to them, it's always the Asians. They just do shit to like sea life that shouldn't be done to anybody. And dogs, they do it to everybody. So how you can be on the shark side? I don't. And by the way, today, a couple things on the Shark Book Report: a snake fell out of like the ceiling in some school. It just fell. Sharks don't fall out of ceilings. And your boy Chris Bryant, huge shark guy. Did you see that? He's like swimming with the sharks. He said it like relaxes him.
Yeah, that was a while ago, right? Yeah.
It came out yesterday, today.
I would be
happy with Chris Bryant on my side. Chris Bryant's a weirdo.
Kevin's got a little Mets upset. I saw him ranting on Twitter the other night. He was like getting in fights about the Cubs when I didn't even mention anything. It was so weird.
That was not weird at all. I was arguing about baseball.
You like just keep in the words of Jason LaConfora, keep the Cubs' names off your lips.
Can I ask you a question, Kevin?
Yes.
Not picking a fight, nothing. I'm curious. Why did you bring Shay to daycare if you're at home?
Next question, Dave. And this is my favorite thing. Thinking, and this is why, God forbid. God forbid you ever procreate, Dave. If you think we can do what we do, while taking care of a baby all day, you are sadly, sorely mistaken. You can do literally nothing with a kid next to you. Not a single thing other than deal with that kid.
Okay, so that's an answer. So you didn't have to be so derisive. It'd be like next question. Also, speaking of silence, I was out with churning guys last night. Good news. I know Nate reads this. So I brought up the fact that Nate, when we move into the office, he sent me that email that said if he doesn't have complete silence, he can't get into the zone. He won't be able to write his top shelf blogs. They may have blackout earphones where you can't hear anything. So that's good news. Like they invested in a company where it's just pure silence. So maybe you could have those too for your kid, KFC. All right. Let's get into
Can I wear those on the rundown?
It has nothing to do with putting headphones on her. It has to do with hating the SK character. What was going through your head? You were worried that she was gonna hear what I talk about? She's fucking 4 months old, you idiot.
No, not that. She's making noise and distracting.
Yeah. Oh, for me? I thought you were putting her on Shay. No, I was like, what is going on with your head?
Put her in the car, Kevin. Just put her in the car for the day. Let her sit there. Crack the window.
Moving on. Prince dead. China dead. Big day of deaths. Real quick, I know Prince is huge. I said he's one of the top guys you can have to die. I'm a little nervous that he died from the flu. He had an extreme case of the flu. Is that what that can happen? That makes me nervous. I'm not a huge Prince guy. I'm not even a China guy. The Macho Man dying was a much bigger deal to me than Prince dying. But I get it. It's a huge deal for a lot of people. I know all Prince's song. I wasn't a Prince guy. KFC?
I'm not a Prince music guy. Like, I like the persona of Prince. I think he's like a fucking lunatic, weirdo, mega star. I don't know if he's a guy. I don't know if he's a girl. He reminds me of a cat. He's always dressed ridiculous. He turned his name into a symbol. When the whole Chappelle Show thing kind of reinvigorated his reputation for younger people. I like Prince. I like Little Red Corvette. That's about it as far as I like his music. The rest of it, I think, is more just about what Prince was, really.
Should we have a Little Red Corvette sing-off? Big Cat, go.
I'm a big Prince guy. I love Prince. I love his music.
You seem shaken up by this.
I was. So Prince is the type of guy, it's kind of like the David Bowie thing, where they are just everything you think about a rock star, what they should be, those guys embody it. They're not normal people. They're not regular people. They are like something out of this planet. So Prince has always had that aura around him. His music's unbelievable. And then the fact that he died, I was just like, wow, he's only 57. I did not see that one coming. So yeah, tough, tough day. And Prince, by the way, go back to our Lenny Kravitz talk. Prince is a guy who just, if you show up at Prince's house, you just can't get fucked by anything.
Yep. That's like, what's his face? James Franco said he was a little bit gay, and he is a little bit gay. I knew that. I didn't need James Franco to tell me he was a little bit gay. I knew he was a little bit gay. Those guys, they're not gay straight. They're just, they like fucking beautiful things, people, and I have no problem with that. China, I thought was dead, so that was a non-factor.
Poor China getting blown out of the water. It's
sad, too. She had a sad, like, last 15 years.
If you played China dead or alive, you guys 100% knew she was alive going into it today? Oh, I didn't.
I would have been a coin flip. I feel like Triple H deserves like half the blame here. I feel like her and Stephanie McMahon like killed China.
Oh, Vince McMahon killed China for sure. Yeah. Took him 15 years, but he killed China.
Moving on, Conor McGregor back in the news. So everyone basically knew he wasn't retiring when he said he retired. Today he writes that long rant that basically he's mad because he has to do all the media tours and promotion and he can't train hard enough. And it's sort of that's why he's lost or making excuses for the front. On top of that, Dana White basically said too late in so many words. You're out of UFC 200. I don't care that you want to fight. To me, it's a labor dispute. All the other stuff is irrelevant. People are saying whatever they want to say. I tried to research, and I don't do this very often, how UFC guys get paid, and it's really hard to find anything. I mean, there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different fighters complaining about how much they get paid. Like, unless you're huge, it seems like you get dirt cheap, like dirt cheap. It's an interesting thing because Dana White has a monopoly. These guys sign contracts, so he's clearly under contract. But you look at other fight sports, and they're not making nearly what the top guys are. So it's an interesting situation, but this is a labor dispute, and Dana White basically just, they got in a staring contest. Conor McGregor blinked, and it's a message not only to Conor McGregor, it's a message to the entire UFC. Like, nobody is bigger than the UFC. So he's the biggest, and I'm willing just to sit him down in the biggest event we've ever had. So, Big Cat, what do you got?
In terms of the labor dispute, I always kind of take the side of the athletes, because there's no doubt in my mind that Dana White is making so much money off Conor McGregor, and Conor should get all the money that he deserves. If he is UFC right now, he should get a big portion of the pie. My problem with the Facebook post was it did sound a little whiny that, like, that's why he lost to Diaz, and basically saying, I don't want to do all this stuff. Well, that's why people like you, Conor. Like, that's why you have transcended just the MMA crowd. That's why, you know, casual fans are tuning in, because of all the press, because of your persona. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I understand he wants to have, like, he doesn't want to be flying everywhere when he's got to train, and I'm totally cool with that. But just remember, the press and the promos and everything, that's the engine that gets everyone to buy the pay-per-views and gets you the money.
But I think that's his point, and I don't know what he gets paid, but if he's not getting enough of that portion and he's doing all of the work. So, it all depends on how it was divvied up. I'm surprised if you're going to blink this fast, I'm surprised you ever played hardball to begin with. You know what I mean?
Like, I think he was just drunk.
Ready for this. Like, I feel like he should have been ready to dig his feet in and be like, we'll see how UFC 200 goes without me. To blink like in 24 hours is like, why you weren't holding the cards you thought you were if you caved this easily, I feel like.
I honestly thought he was probably just drunk the other night. He pulled up his like iPhone and was like, what do I have to do tomorrow? Oh, I have to like go, you know, do this interview and get on a flight and go here. And he's like, fuck it, I quit. And then 2 days later, he's like, oh, shit. I don't quit. The Diaz thing, though, and people keep saying, like, oh, well, Conor was fighting a heavier guy in this. And Conor could have backed out of that fight. He fought that fight knowing that if he had beaten Diaz, he would have been, like, everyone would have applauded him for going up in weight and being this monster of a fighter who can fight anywhere, anytime, anybody. He took a calculated risk and lost. So don't tell me that, like, oh, man, it's because he was doing all the press or the weight. Conor knew what he was getting into when he fought him.
I agree with that, but if he were to back out, he would have
caught shit. But that's part of Conor McGregor's persona, is he does the anywhere, anytime. Like, if you build yourself up on, I'm the greatest in the world, I'll beat up anyone, anywhere, you can't duck fights. And a credit to him for not ducking it. That's why we always hated Floyd Mayweather. But he had a lot to gain from that, too, when he lost. So,
I just don't think that's the issue at all. I think it all is he's willing to do all this stuff, and he knows he's the one moving the needle, and he wants a bigger piece of the pie. He's doing in a way, it's like you're doing the same thing everybody else has to do, but you're the only reason people are coming to the site. You're the only reason people are buying the Shark Book. You're the only reason people are doing the podcast, and you want a bigger cut. That's what it feels like to me. Schilling, fired. So we talked. I thought maybe we were going to have him on the rundown. Some people are saying, you know, freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. That has nothing to do with this. ESPN's a for-profit company, a private company. If you think the guy's too big of a headache where he's costing you money or too much to deal with, that's your right to get rid of him. I don't think anyone can argue that. The bigger question is, should we hire this guy? Should we hire Kurt? I think I could get him. I honestly think we could get Kurt Schilling. So, Big Cat, yes or no, you in on Schilling?
I would say we probably don't want to hire him because that's bringing sand to the beach. We are already like on the edge. I don't think we need to bring the crazy uncle into the mix to continue being like, I don't know if Schilling is going to get us new audiences that we want. Let's just say that
we need to hire Schilling, but not like to blog and shit. I don't know.
Right.
He needs to be like almost like the Birdcage thing. Like if you fuck up, you get like locked in a room with Schilling. You know what I mean? He's like he has to play an extra role. He's not just a blogger. He is I don't know what, but I could.
By the way, his excuse to Sean is like we have tons of transgender people like hanging out at our house. That's just not true.
His son has like a gang of transgender people, according to the blog. If we hire Schilling, I'd hire Schilling under these circumstances. One, he has to play on our will be like fast pitch softball or something. He has to play on the team. He has to pitch. Two, he can't talk. Three, we do like Kurt's Facebook meme of the day. And it's just whatever Kurt wants. And we'll be like, look, this is wild card Kurt. And we'll just see how it goes.
I also think there could be a situation on the road where like we're wrestling for the microphone. Kurt seems like somebody who would like to be in the spotlight 99.9% of the time. So that could be an issue.
I could not imagine working with a person like that.
Moving on, we have LeBron versus the Pistons is suddenly turning into sort of an interesting series because he's in a fight with basically all the Pistons. He bumped Stanley Johnson. Stanley Johnson then came back and said he's in LeBron's head and he's going to lace up his shoes tight. And he owns LeBron, and LeBron's the worst. As one of the foremost LeBron haters ever to walk this planet, even I am like, what is this guy talking about? Because they're losing by 30. I will say, though, him threatening to beat up Marcus Morris was like, I'm going to fucking kill that guy. He said it three times. That was laughing. That was peak LeBron. You're not beating up anybody, LeBron.
Oh,
you're
not that guy. Anybody. What? Not that. That guy, the Morris twins, like, got... Didn't they hire a hitman to like beat up one of their mom's boyfriends?
Yeah, they're nuts. You don't fuck with the Morris twins.
And you
twins
don't fuck with the twins. Yeah,
twins are weird.
They're the weird twins that have a bunk bed. You don't fuck with those guys. Those guys will kill you, like in front of everyone, and just be like, "Fine, I'll just go to jail." They're like the Menendez brothers. Those are the Morris guys.
And that's why I believed his quote. Marcus was like, he wasn't talking about me. There's no way he was talking about me. Because he knows, even if he's crazy, in his crazy, like, there's no way anybody would talk shit like that to me because then I will murder them. So LeBron actually has to hope he never convinces himself it was actually about him because then he may kill him.
Yes, correct.
The Stanley Johnson quote of, he only talks shit to me when he's up 18. Like, I wish he talked shit at the beginning. Like, yeah, dude, when you're getting your doors blown off, people talk shit. That's not a real, like, it's not an actual quote you can say.
It reminds me of, do you remember Ruben Patterson for the Blazers when he gave himself the nickname Kobe Stopper? Yeah. And he was just like, I'm the Kobe Stopper. And the Lakers would just beat him every time. That's kind of what it is. Like, you can tell yourself that you are getting LeBron, you're in his head, but at the end of the day, no one's going to really remember who he, although he's 19. He's going to have a good career, but yeah, weird, weird shit.
And the thing is, I think you can get in LeBron's head. I think kind of the Mavs did when they beat them in the playoffs, but it's your, when
you can get in LeBron's head very easily. You just can't get in LeBron's head in the first round or the second. That just doesn't happen.
Right. Right. Last one, this 30-year-old hoop star, what city is this guy in?
It's Canada.
He's in Canada, city, whatever. So he's playing in Canada. He's on a 17-year-old under team. He's a starting center, a superstar. He's 30 years old, but he's from Africa. Real quick, I actually do not think this is illegal. There's no – it's El Duque of the Canadian Basketball League. None of these guys who come from Africa, and he came recently, know how old they are. They don't have birth certificates there. They're always 10 to 15 years older than – they're actually than what they say they are. So this is not like a guy pulling it over. You chop 15 years off your age when you travel continents. So no harm, no foul. He just happens to be a basketball player. But his age would be the same no matter what profession he was in. It wasn't like, let me pretend to be 17 so I can play hoop. He showed up 17, and then he didn't know what he was going to do. KFC?
You don't really believe that, do you?
I do.
You believe that guy in his heart thought he was 17 years old?
The second he stepped on Americans or Canadian soil, yes.
I don't have a problem with it from the respect of, like, he came from the Sudan where people are getting like limbs chopped off and shit.
That's what
you got to do what you got to do. Like, if you got to go play high school basketball in Canada to get out of the Sudan, you fucking do it. So I do think he knew what he was doing. I think he knows he's not 17, Dave.
Can I ask you? If you asked El Duque right now, how old do you think you are, El Duque? What do you think he'd answer?
If I asked El Duque, do you think you're – what is he? Let's say El Duque is 45. If I asked him if you thought you were 32, would he be like, yeah, I might be 32? No. I think there's like a buffer. I think there's like –
Here's how it works, though, Kevin.
There's not a 12-year
– Here's how it works. They're born and – they're like, so their parents know how old they are, but they don't register until they have like their first, you know, big city experience where it's like, okay, now you're on the grid. Like, here you are, you're a person. That could happen at any point in the first 15 years.
There's like a 5-year window.
I know for a fact nobody in Sudan knows how old they are.
Right. Yeah, but there's not that big of a variance.
Yes. Oh, El Duque is like 70 years old, probably.
Yes. Yeah.
El Duque. Like, you're laughing, Kevin, but he is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. We need something to like, you know how you, like, you can cut a tree in half and count the rings? We need that for humans.
Yeah.
Clubbing these motherfuckers.
All right. Well, that's it. It's the rundown. Do we have any post-show stuff?
No.
My golf take, by the way, was applauded through and through. So that was going from the top five worst
things. You had a lot of public support with that, but I disagree. Yeah. I had a cold. Sucks.
That's just, how many meetings you got today?
Today was not a huge meeting day. Yesterday was huge. Tomorrow
was
big.
There was some great moments from Peter Chernin about like how to handle success and like if your job is really difficult and stuff. And there was so many times you responded like, right, yeah, right, right. And they were like blatantly things you do not agree with or do not do or do the complete total opposite.
I love
when you pretended to know the name of that book he was talking about. That was great.
Oh, did you do that? You pulled that one?
No, I didn't. Garbo. I've heard of that.
No, you haven't. Kevin. I know that one.
That was a really famous book. I've totally heard of that. And I did. I didn't go along with it. I said I'm condescending.
Nah, there was a lot of stuff that you were like, right, right. That's not what Dave Porta does at all.
I have to listen to it later today. Did you at any point, Dave, ask like when he started liking you? That's usually a Dave question. Like, no, when did you start being a fan of mine?
He offered it right away. He said something to the effect, like, I knew that we were two peas in a pod and two, like, you know, just.
Which is so funny because he's like, he's very, 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 very smart. So I don't know what.
Dude, more than that, he's like super humble. Like, this whole podcast was like, people talk about how hard my job is. It's really not hard. Like, I'm lucky to be where I am. And he was like, success doesn't really teach you anything about yourself. Like, you learn about yourself when you get knocked down and you fail. But success doesn't. You think about yourself. You think like, oh, you're hot shit. You're probably not. I was like, how did this dude buy this
pod? What?
Well, you cut me off. I was saying when he was like, what I knew that we were kind of like soulmates and could see eye to eye and work together was when he I think the phrase he used was doggedness. Just you're such a dog. You never. You know, you never quit. If one thing doesn't work, you're on to the next. You just battle. You don't sleep. Endless work hours. And that's what you got to do. You just keep moving forward. You just be a dog. Doggedness.
It's no coincidence that the whole deal went down after your 3-month Nantucket vacation then.
I was a dog. 3 months. That's just a lie. But, I mean, all right. Hey, it is.
Hey, Dave, feel better.
Thank you.
By the way. Next time you like get high and give us a review of something, you need to say that you were high. Remember how you're like, SNL was so funny, the Shaq thing was so funny, and then you're like, oh yeah, but we got high. Of course it was fucking funny.
People are telling me medical marijuana you can't even get high on.
I don't understand that whole hardo world of like,
what does that mean?
That's the craziest world.
You got the highest, I thought, on that shit.
I don't know. People like, I had a lot of people call me a fucking asshole for trying to get high on medical.
I feel like that's the ultimate hardo,
that's
like
stoners.
Realm of life. The stoner hardo is just like, shut the fuck up.
And I gotta be honest, I didn't even know mine was medical marijuana because it has a little cross on it. I guess someone fucking, you think I'm buying it at a hospital? No, I'm buying up fucking the guy down the corner. So.
We should still do a rundown where we all hit a gravity bong first.
Fine by me. I'm into the ganja.